Welcome to Happy Hour at Home, a podcast about friends navigating adult life in the modern world. I'm your host, Chloe, and today we're talking about mental health and work-life balance in the time of COVID-19. Today's friend is Charlene Zen. She's my good friend from high school. She went to USC, fight on, and moved to the Bay Area after college, where she worked at a startup helping small businesses grow a loyal customer base. She rage quit her job to go backpacking the world before coming back to the Bay. Now, she runs a client success team at a small tech startup in Oakland. She's a proud plant mom, a travel enthusiast, and a wine and vodka connoisseur, to put it lightly. She's someone I go to when I need some real talk, and she's unafraid of showing confident vulnerability. Hi, Charlene.
Hi, Chloe. I'm excited to be the first person on your podcast.
Thank you for being my guest today. So I know this is all very new. It's a new podcast. And what Happy Hour at Home is about is it's a place where I wanted my friends to come together to candidly talk about what we're all going through in our careers, relationships, and lives, just like what we do at a normal happy hour, except that we're all at our own homes, relaxing to our own homemade drink of choice. So Charlene, what's your happy hour drink today?
I prepared the Early Bird. It's basically my favorite drink at my favorite bar in SF. And then once they shut down for quarantine, I spent a lot of time stalking their Yelp page photos, trying to find the recipe for it because they always listed it at the bar. And then I've been trying to recreate it. I think I'm pretty close, but I'm not quite there yet.
Wait, what is it made of?
It's St. Germain's vodka, lemon juice, and then soda water.
Oh, very fancy. And you have a nice glass for it too.
Yeah. What are you drinking, Chloe?
I'm drinking a banana mango milk smoothie.
It's not a happy hour drink.
Yeah, you're right. Anyways, Charlene, you're someone who I like talking to when it comes to managing mental health practices. I wanted to ask you, how did you take those first initial steps when you decided to prioritize mental health in your life?
I've always been interested in mental health, and then I tried to get a therapist in college, but navigating, you know, like college insurance and like campus therapy and all that stuff was really difficult. Tried once or twice, and then they're like, oh, the next appointment is in 6 months. And I was like, I won't need you in 6 months. That didn't really work out. When I moved up to the Bay, it was always something that was just like in the back of my mind, something I should do. I got a therapist a year and a half after I moved up here. She was fine. I enjoyed it. Didn't love her, but then it didn't matter because I was about to go travel and I had quit my job, so I didn't have health insurance and therapy's really expensive. That was my first venture into it. When I came back, I started my new job, had health insurance again, was going through some changes in my life, trying to adapt to coming back to the city, trying to navigate like dating, adulthood, and I just felt like I needed to get a therapist, so I tried pretty hard, but it's just really difficult to navigate, especially here where there is a surplus of money and demand and people willing to pay out of pocket, and there's not that many therapists that take insurance and stuff, so it took a while. But then, yeah, I found my therapist, and she's great, and I've been going for a year and a half at this point, and I think it was just something that I had been meaning to prioritize, and I finally just got around to it, and I'm really glad I did.
What was finding the right therapist like for you? I imagine that's really hard because you got to be able to connect to them. It can't just like be anyone who matches your insurance package. It has to be someone you really vibe with and you really trust.
Yeah. So my first therapist that I went to a couple times, she was like fine. She was nice.
She was fine.
It was fine. But I didn't like love her. And then this new therapist that I went to, I just felt she understood me right away and there was not very much judgment. So I basically called this like center. They're like kind of a co-op. There's someone that will do like a first time phone screen with you and then assign you to someone. And then I actually really vibe with the person that was supposed to assign me to someone. And she's like, oh, like I feel like what you're talking about is very matched in line with what I actually do. I actually just have an opening. Do you want it? It's going to be in like 6 weeks from now or whatever. And I was like, yeah, it's not a huge urgent rush. And I was really lucky because my work was very flexible about it because their only opening was Thursdays at 1 p.m. I had to like leave work, take the bus for 40 minutes, go back to do my 45 minutes of therapy and then go back to work. So I was like really lucky that my boss was very chill about it.
Wait, how did you bring it up to your boss?
I was just like, I'm going to therapy and it is at this time. And she's like, I understand. Just work through lunch the day that it is, and then like work a little longer after and come in a little earlier. You know, like make up the hours, but it's fine to do that. And I put the block on my calendar. I was lucky because I had a good relationship with my boss to begin with, so I wasn't awkward about like, hey, I'm going to therapy.
You didn't feel any hesitation to just like say it outright? Because I know some people would just say, oh yeah, I have a doctor's appointment, or it's just kind of hard to bring up because they don't want to share that part of their life into the workplace.
I think I had a couple of good friends who had gone to therapy and were pretty public about it. That really helped normalize it for me. And then on my calendar, like I told my direct boss, my direct manager, that I was going to therapy. And then for the rest of the company, like on my calendar, just said appointment. So it wasn't as like public, but I'm sure everyone knows what I'm doing at 1 o'clock every week.
I know that therapy is just one piece of the puzzle when you want to manage all of your mental health. What are other things that you do to take care of your mental health?
So I think I worked through that a lot with my therapist and just like trying to figure out what self-care practices I can do, which ones work best for me, like how to manage all my stress. So I've like cycled through a lot. Like I meditated for a while and that works for me, but I don't love it. So it's not something that I keep up with because I don't enjoy it. For me, I just have like a very set self-care routine. And then I find working out really helps. So going to workout classes like Barry's really helps because it's so intense and you're so tired afterwards that and then all the endorphins are rushing. I meditate if I'm really, really, really stressed just because it does calm me down, but I can't keep it as an active practice. I journal. I think that's what I do.
So it sounds like working out, journaling, meditation. So that's your self-care routine at home.
So my very specific self-care routine, if I have a bad day, I go home.
Okay.
I go to Safeway. I get Safeway California rolls. I watch Grey's Anatomy and I do a face mask with my candles.
Scented or not?
Eucalyptus mint from Bath and Body Works.
Okay. And how long does the self-care session take?
That's just like after work. That's my evening. And then I'll go to sleep.
Oh, that's a beautiful routine. Now that we all are working from home during these COVID-19 days, how has transitioning all of your work life and your social life and everything that you've got going on to doing everything remotely, how big of an impact has it had on your life?
So I think it had a really big impact because I've canceled 3 vacations since COVID has started.
Oh, did you get refunds?
No. Some of them, yeah. So I was supposed to go to, like, right when it hit, I was supposed to be in New York for a week and a half. And then I got that credited, not refunded. I was supposed to be in Chicago, and I got everything there, either credited or refunded. And now I'm at war with Chase and Royal Air Maroc because I'm supposed to be in Morocco for 2 weeks. So I have like a million flights to cancel. They're not American Airlines, so they're very difficult to get a hold of. They don't really care about refunding you and all that stuff. So I'm working on that. I was on hold for like 2 hours on Friday.
Did your phone run out of battery?
No. They just were like, we can't get through to the airlines, so we're just going to have to call you back or get someone else to do it. Because I was going through Chase, because I booked through Chase for Air Maroc. That reminds me that I haven't resolved that.
I'm sorry for reminding you. Okay, so it affected your travel plans. How did it affect your social life?
A lot of my social life is traveling or doing things. Like, I'm always doing things on the weekend. I go dinner parties, host dinner parties, go to friends' houses for dinner parties. I like boozy brunches. I go to the bars. So a lot of that. And even just like, I don't know, going to Dolores or doing something with my friends, going hiking on the weekends, all that's been affected. I feel like I was always out and about, even on the weekdays. Like the weekdays would probably be like a workout class with some friends or maybe a quick dinner. And so I haven't been able to do that. But I do a lot of Zoom happy hours and a lot of Zoom dinners and stuff, which has been nice.
Are you drinking more or less than before?
Before I was drinking, like the first month of quarantine, I was drinking more frequently. Because before quarantine, when I go out, I binge drink once a week, you know? But then now,
I know, Charlene.
And then quarantine, it was like 2 glasses of wine with dinner, but like almost every night. So like quantity-wise, but frequency was a lot. But then alcohol really affects my mood. And I normally counteract that with like working out or something, like hardcore cardio. But then with quarantine and my own lack of self-will and everything, I just wasn't working out hard enough for that. So then I just have stopped drinking as much. I try to drink only once or twice a week.
Good safety measures. Okay, what about work? I know you lead a team and it's really hectic and you're in back-to-back calls. So how is transitioning all of that to work? work from home. What was that like?
I was super busy since January up until right before quarantine, because like we had some layoffs earlier, and then I was doing a ton of work and I just got a promotion, and I was in the middle of growing out teams. So I was working a lot, and then we hit quarantine, and so I was still working a lot. So I'd hired someone new. He started for 2 weeks, and then he had a vacation planned. So he went on vacation, and then during vacation, we went on quarantine. So like the day he got back from vacation, I was like, I need you to call me so that I know that you're not going to work on Monday, because work is now from your house. So literally this guy had just started. So like a lot of his onboarding had to be done remotely. I'm a relatively new first time manager. This is like one of my first times onboarding someone. So I was just like struggling to figure out as I went. It actually turned out really well. He's doing really great. And so he's been able to take a lot of the work off my plate. So then with that and with like quarantine, I'm actually setting better boundaries, working less, making a more clear divide between work and home, which I wasn't doing before quarantine.
Yeah, it seemed like you were working and only working.
Yeah, but now I balance. It's great.
What does a balanced life look like?
Before, I wasn't setting a strict routine during quarantine, like the first month of quarantine. So basically, I was like doing okay during quarantine. And I was like, oh, like I don't have to commute anymore and yada, yada, yada. So I was just enjoying the first couple weeks. And then I kind of like hit this like plateau of like nothing's being done. I feel kind of shitty. And then I peaked. Now I'm like in this peak. I figured out quarantine. It has a very strict schedule. So I wake up every morning at 8, and then I work from 8 to 9, like heads down, clear out everything. We have a daily stand up at 9. And then I check in with everyone, tell my boss what I'm doing, see what my team's doing. Every day at 11:30, if I don't have a meeting, I do my yoga stretch series. I hope my boss does not listen to this. I do a yoga stretch series. And then from 12 to 1, I eat lunch. I watch a TV show, whatever comedy I'm watching, clean up. And then from 1 to 4:30, I work like very hard. And then 4:30, I do a second yoga series. And then I'm done for the day. Unless I have late meetings, and then I'll take the meetings or whatever. So I'm working like less hours than I have before, but I'm more focused. So I think I'm getting just as much done, but it's very like structured.
So that means you have all this other extra time to do other things in your life. What have you been doing in those hours?
I have been cooking a lot, just a lot of cooking, because what else is there to do? And also, I didn't realize how much work cooking 3 meals a day is.
Yeah, it's a ton of work.
Yeah, so I cook a lot. Got ButcherBox, so I have like frozen meat and stuff to play with, and it's like meat I wouldn't normally buy.
What did you say? ButcherBox?
Yeah, it's like a meat delivery service.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, it's good. It's organic, farm fresh, pasture raised, you know, all of that fancy stuff. So it's like good. Like the quality of the meat is good, and then it's just nice to have it delivered to your house, and then I always have meat in the freezer. And then I try things I normally wouldn't buy. Like I've been making baby back ribs a lot, which I never made before quarantine.
Wait, that's so fancy.
Yeah. It's actually pretty easy.
So you're cooking for both you and your boyfriend?
I am. I like to cook. He likes to clean, so that is perfect.
Has he felt a lot of gratitude for your wonderful professional cooking?
He has. And I felt a lot of gratitude for his professional cleaning.
You are a perfect duo.
Yeah, I really hate doing dishes.
But you just put it in your dishwasher, don't you?
I don't have a dishwasher.
Ah, I see.
I don't have one here or at my apartment.
Oh, that's rough. Okay.
Yeah.
So cooking has been huge. Yoga has been huge. What else has been really big for you outside of work?
I've really gotten into cross-stitching. Wait, hold on. I need to go get you my cross-stitches. I need to show them to your podcast viewers.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go grab like 4.
Okay.
Hello. I'm back.
Hello.
Look at my cross-stitching. I'm very proud. Wow. So I want to show it off. I'm really into cross-stitching memes. Memes and like Pokemon characters is my life.
Yeah, well, it looks so good. Your proportions are perfect.
Thank you. I try very hard. I spend a lot of time doing this.
Okay, so it looks like you have lots of hobbies. You were working a ton. And I think something that I've been interested in lately is whether or not I should transition my mental health routine to like a virtual routine. And I had been going to a therapist in person, but then my therapist has now retired, which is really good for her. But I don't know how to pick up starting the virtual, like starting in the virtual world. What I don't even know what therapy could look like. So I know that you're transitioning into it and you probably have a lot of experience in it. I just wanted to hear what it's been like for you.
So I now do therapy virtually because that is the only option. It's very different. So I still go to her once every 2 weeks, which is like my normal cadence. And then it's just virtual now. And I feel like it's definitely harder. I feel like I don't feel as connected to her because it's just through the screen. And then I feel like before, you know, she has a very comfy sofa that I just like curl up in. I hold the pillow that's always there in my lap. And then she can read my body language. Like if I'm like really slumped in the chair that day, then she knows it's been a rough week. If I'm like very perky, just holding the pillow, she knows. And then there's just like the lack of that. And I think in general, there's a lot of social cues that people pick up when you're in person that are kind of lost over Zoom, especially with like the video and then the delay and stuff, starting sentences when like interrupting the other person. I feel like the silences in therapy pre-COVID weren't awkward, but the silences over the screen are a little bit awkward now. Oh. I don't know what it is about it. So it's been a transition for sure. There's also just not as much to talk about. I think pre-COVID, I was mostly talking to her about more external things that were like happening in my life. I had been talking to her a lot about work for a while because work was just a lot and that was all very external. And then with COVID and with just being very alone or like very in tune with myself and like being much slowed down, it's all more like internal factors, internal things I'm talking about, which is also different. It's been a bit of a transition. I don't know how I would feel about starting therapy virtually.
So do you recommend not to, or?
I am not a professional, so I don't have a formal recommendation, but I feel like.
Of course not.
I feel like if you feel like you need therapy starting, or you feel like, yeah, if you want to do therapy, that like starting virtually is better than not starting for sure. But I would just be like, take it, like set the right expectations, right? That like, if this is your first time doing therapy and you're starting virtually and you don't love it, like understand that a lot of it could be both the awkwardness of starting like for the very first time and the fact that it's virtual, and to like, if you don't love it virtually, to give it another shot when things kind of go back to normal. I don't know if that's just me and I just like being in person. And it's just a change in our rapport. My therapist is also she's kind of soft-spoken, but she's also very pragmatic. She's not like a warm, fuzzy person.
Do you like that?
Yes. But I feel like in person, you can feel like that she cares and the warmth and everything, just like from her, the aura emanating from her as a person. So it's fine, but it's a little bit lost virtually. She's a German PhD by trade, like a doctor who found therapy in the late stage. So like a German doctor is stereotypically not the warm, fuzzy, bubbly person.
What were the kinds of therapists that you did not gel with?
So I only really had one therapist before that, and I think it was too warm and fuzzy.
What does that look like? To just try to console you all the time or what?
Yeah, there's like a lot more, and I don't want to say sympathy, but it was just like, so what I do like about my therapist is that she just like, she lets me talk and then she's just like, and then she basically just lets me therapy myself. She just like kind of guides me and then I'm just talking and then I'll like have a revelation, but she's not like telling me anything. And I like that. And she's very blunt. So there's no fluffing around. Like if I do something that's kind of like ridiculous, she will tell me in slightly nicer words than that's ridiculous. She's very blunt and she'll call me out for my bullshit in a nice therapy way. And so I appreciate that.
In your first meeting with a new therapist, how do you set expectations on what you're looking for?
I don't think I was. So I actually did not. I told her like what I was looking for, like, this is why I'm crazy. This is why I need a therapist. And then I just really vibe with how she responded to that.
Which is, I see.
Yes. Basically, she's like, why do you think that is? What if you had done this instead? I'm like, what if I had done this? That is a much better solution than what I did. That makes sense. I should have done that.
Have you ever looked into other therapy, virtual therapy methods, like all the other options out there where you can chat or you can have trainings? I know there's a list of apps that you can use that would be probably more affordable and more accessible, especially for new time therapy seekers.
So I haven't used any of them myself. I don't know why. I think when I was starting therapy, I was like, oh, like I want to try traditional therapy, and then I just kind of stuck with it. I haven't really tried like any of the virtual. I know they have like chatbots now, like AI chatbots. There's all those ads for like Talkspace and everything. And I know you can like message your therapist. I haven't tried them. I think I don't really know how I would feel about that. I feel like I have a really strong support network of friends. So I feel like if I was going to text someone about how I feel and my problems, I would text my friends. And I think like my friends aren't, you know, like therapists or the most emotionally like aware people in the world. But I feel like in a group chat where you have people of different opinions and like different approaches to things, you can kind of piecemeal together your own feelings about things. And so I personally do that over going to like a chatbot or some type of AI service for virtual therapy. But I think if it's something very private or that you don't want to share with your friends and you feel more comfortable with therapists, I think that can definitely be helpful. Especially if you're just trying to talk through like an issue or something instead of like a reoccurring ongoing session.
I feel that way too. I'm not sure if I would be able to get started, but I think I'm also just like really new to these virtual therapy apps and I like don't really know what to make of it. I don't think it's like been socialized enough for me to start it right away, but I've looked up a couple and I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think of those apps. I'm just going to share what I found from a quick Google search. There's an app called Ginger, and it's basically a behavioral health coach where you can have a one-on-one chat with a mental health coach, and then you can set up virtual video sessions, but I think it's mostly through text. And then they'll like point you to articles or homework to help you to figure out like what, like kind of modules on what you should be working on. So there's that. And then there's a second app called Youper.ai, which is an emotional health assistant. So this is an AI bot that you can text that helps, it helps monitor your symptoms and then develops like these personal treatments for you and for your conditions. So I think a lot of it is based on AI, which is really interesting. Like it helps diagnose you and then gives you solutions. There's a third app called Mood Path, which is a mental health companion. So it's very different from an assistant because a companion is more of like someone who's by your side when you're going through your routine exercises. So they can, this app has areas where you can write in your digital journal, it tracks your mood, and it gives you audio files that helps build your positivity and your self-confidence. So it's like kind of more of a friend. And then there's another one, I think it's pronounced Wobot. Wobot. It's an AI bot that you can vent to. And when you vent to it, it'll send you back really encouraging, thought-provoking feedback throughout the entire conversation. I think what's cool about this one is like it read that it was designed by a group of psychologists and then it uses this cognitive behavioral therapy techniques so that they know how to interact. The AI bot knows how to interact with you and respond to you, which is really neat. Those are the main categories of apps I've seen. And then I guess some other apps are like a combination of it all.
Well, I feel like these are, so I was thinking that like virtual therapy, it's like replacing therapy, but these are all like supplementing, or a lot of these are supplementing therapy, like your assistants and your companions. Yeah, I think I would be interested in trying some of these. I think like what I spent a lot of time with my therapist on was like tracking my triggers, you know, and you don't really notice the first time something happens, right? There's so many things happening in your life that if you like are having a bad day, you never know what triggers it. But after like you track it for a while, you're like, oh, like every time I do X, then I always feel bad after. So then I feel like Mood Path, where you can like journal down your mood tracker, then you can really see the trends there. Same as like the emotional health assistant one. I think those are both really great to kind of understand your own baseline. And then the Wobot seems fun.
It just seems fun.
I would be interested to see what like thought-provoking feedback they give. So I actually follow a couple of therapists that I like on Instagram, and they post thought-provoking things. So like I'll be like scrolling through Instagram, and it's like memes, more memes, plants. Oh look, here's an ounce of like thought-provoking therapy, and then memes. So it's like really helpful. I really love
it. Wait, what kind of Instagrammers are these?
Some of them are just like positive, like mental health people, but there's like notes from your therapist, and she's a therapist that actually writes handwritten notes on like emotions, emotional intelligence, relationships, nurturing your inner child. And they're just like written, there's like a couple lines written on a scrap of paper. And every time I see one of those, I like pause for a second in my endless scrolling, and then I think. And that, I think, was actually, it's a super great community to be a part of.
Oh, that's so interesting. I've never followed this category of Instagrammers.
Yeah, I like to mix up my Instagram from, you know, weird beans to plants to therapy. That's what I love about Instagram. You can really get into any community there.
That is true. Whoa, I'm just checking it out right now. This is so neat.
And because it's like handwritten, you never really miss it. And then it's just like a little tidbit. And I think also if there's like one that you really identify with, like something that she says really resonates with you, you'll see like there's like hundreds of comments. That means like thousands of other people felt this way and you feel a little bit less alone.
Maybe I will check this out. I know that it's like, I'm not going through some crazy amount of stuff, but there is a lot of unrest in my soul. Sometimes like I feel I'm not moving forward, I'm not learning, I'm not growing, and it's making me feel really stuck. And I'm physically stuck too at home. And I think it's sometimes I can bottle these feelings up, and then sometimes I have little moments of explosion at home. And I really want to make sure that this doesn't happen regularly and that I can manage those sources of anxieties. But it's not crazy, so I'm wondering what are some low-hanging fruit options that I could work with. But I think that something I'm really transitioning towards right now is like, I thought all of this would be very temporary, like maybe at most a month, maybe 2 months of staying at home and watching TV shows and cooking, and everything else in my life would take a pause. But now that it looks like pretty much all of 2020 might be taken up by the shelter in place, I think I need to totally reset my long-term view of how I'm going to get satisfaction in connecting with friends, satisfaction in growing in my life, and then taking areas of my life to that next step. And I'm like kind of stuck. Like I'm not really sure what that looks like. And I wanted to see how you were thinking about resetting your long-term plans and how you view how you're going to live your life.
So I actually had this conversation with my therapist because I felt the same way. Yeah, I was like when this was supposed to be a month, I was like, yeah, I've been working a lot lately. I'm going to take a month to chill. I'm not going to try to be productive. I'm just going to, you know, catch up on all the TV I didn't get to watch when I was working a lot, do all the things I wanted to do at home. And that was fun for like a month. And now I was like telling her like, oh, like I don't want to look back on 2020 and be like, I didn't do anything with my life. Like it was a waste of a year. She basically was like trying to help me reset my mindset and my expectations, because it's not, the priority now shouldn't be being productive. Like it should be, you know, like taking care of yourself, like prioritizing self-care and, you know, really just setting a routine and like kind of settling in for the long haul of this. And that a lot of the anxiety and stress that we experience from not being like as productive is just because of like the world that we live in, where you always have to be go, go, go. And it's just like trying to reset that expectation that like you can take this moment to slow down, to, you know, prioritize, you know, seeing like what's important, like spending time with your family, virtually or not, friends virtually or not, just like trying to figure out what's important to you and not feeling the need to like be doing things. She was like, you're a very goal-oriented person all the time, and sometimes it's okay to not be striving towards something. Like it's okay to just be, because this is a stressful time and this is a scary time, and like productivity is one thing, but you're also worried about like your family, and you're worried about your safety and the economy, and there's just so much stress that to add this like expectation for yourself that you need to be productive is just kind of maybe not the best approach. And so we kind of had that conversation, and that helped me stop feeling like, oh, like I need to like write a book, I need to start a travel blog, I need to be this or do that or learn to code or learn another language. Like I need to stop feeling that I need to do that and really just be. So I think I kind of listened to that, but I'm also kind of like, I can't do that for 9 months. Like there is a set amount that I can do. So I'm trying to set like smaller goals and put less weight on them, so that if I don't meet them, I don't feel bad that I'm not meeting them. For example, I've been doing a lot of yoga, more for like manage my stress. And now I have like a couple of goals around that. Like I have never been able to do a real push-up, and I want to just be able to do a push-up, like a nice chaturanga. That'd be very nice. get some arm muscles going.
That's a good goal.
Yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. It's in line with what I'm like working towards anyways. I won't feel bad if I don't hit it. I'm trying to do the splits. Yeah, so just, I think it's a lot around like letting yourself take a moment and take a breath and resetting your expectations on what you need to accomplish.
I think it was so hard. I know that at the beginning of the year, I was setting myself up for such a rigorous plan to move forward in my life. I wanted to make all this money and I wanted to get promoted. And then I wanted to find all these new career opportunities and move forward and then maybe move and lose weight and then do my finances properly. Like there was just like seven different big goals that I had. And now I feel, well, first of all, I can't really get promoted anymore because my company just wiped all promotions from this half. And I feel really listless at work. And then I was putting so much time into work and I felt like really good about it. And I felt all the extra time I put in was amounting to something. Not that I'm only motivated by promotions, but like for the first time, I was very serious about wanting a promotion. And now that's like kind of gone. I just feel really lackluster in my career and it doesn't feel good. And I know that right now we have to reset. We can't be so hard on ourselves. We're even lucky to have jobs right now. It doesn't feel good. And I know what you mean. You half listen to him and you half don't. I'm trying to figure out a way to reset my new goals so that it still feels like I am trying to make the best out of the situation I have while not putting too much pressure on myself when the world is like kind of in chaos.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way about my career too. It's just hard to care as much in this time, at least for me.
I think what's like worse about career is I'm in a position where I need to fight for my visibility a lot. Being at the office and then just showing up and then being there early and saying hi to people at their tables and doing just all these weird optic moves actually helps bring me into conversations and different meetings. It helps other people keep me top of mind for their projects. And now that my function is not like you have to be very in the inner circles to get into those meetings. So I'm constantly always out of the loop and it feels so bad. And I don't really know how to manage that in my head. And I kind of talked to my manager about it, but then I think our entire department is like accepting how we aren't that core to the main development process. And we've always had to fight for a seat at the table. And then we're just like, got to accept that this is what it is.
Yeah, that's definitely very frustrating, especially if like it's acknowledged that you guys aren't at the table. And I don't know, it's just hard to overcome that.
Yeah, so then I decided to not put as much effort into my work. I was working insane hours too, and then I'm trying to put more time into other things in my life. I've been working out, taking class pass, doing the virtual live streams. I try to take walks sometimes. I try to cook, and I try to watch TV shows so I can feel like I'm enjoying life.
Was it your life goal to just sit at home and watch anime forever?
Yeah, when I was a child.
Gotta revert to your childhood goals, Chloe.
My dream was to make so much money that I wouldn't have to work anymore so I could rewatch all the animes that I've loved.
I think you can do that right now. You can just rewatch all your animes. This is a perfect opportunity.
What we can do is just create small goals. Create small goals and not put too much pressure on them if we don't hit them.
That's all I'm really working towards. Just trying not to be that hard on myself. I actually don't remember what my goals were for this year. I feel like I was lined up to have a very good year and now they are gone. I wanted to get promoted. We'll see how that goes.
Wait, are you guys still doing promotions?
I mean, we're a small company, so it's not like set promotions. It's kind of like you just
do it.
Work. Yeah.
Okay.
But I haven't really been fighting for my promotion because I feel like I'm not really ready to put in the hard work or the growth needed because I'm just not that focused right now because I'd rather just prioritize self-care. So I'm not even asking for it. I wanted to do skincare at least 5 nights a week, which I am.
So 5 nights a week, you're going to put a face mask on.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I was doing the 10-step Korean skincare whatever process. But the thing is, like, when I'm super busy, I definitely am not doing 10 steps. So then I was maybe hitting it like twice a week. And now I am hitting it 7 nights a week. I'm doing skincare. So I'm hitting my goal.
Wait, is your skin, do you think it's improving a lot?
It is. I don't break out. I've gotten rid of some of the dark spots, acne scars. I'm doing well.
So that was goal number two.
Yeah, I'm actually, now I'm reading these, I'm actually going to thrive. I'm doing all of my goals. Work out 3 times a week. I work out twice a day.
Nice.
I want to host a dinner party or cook something new once a month. I do that week. Screen time, less. Okay, I'm failing there. I'm doing so much more screen time. Save money. I'm doing well there. I don't spend any money, really. Saving a ton of money. And don't black out more than twice a year. And I'm doing well on that. So I'm actually doing quite well.
Wait, you had a goal to not black out more than twice a year?
So actually, in 2017, my goal was to not black out more than once a month.
Oh my God.
Was close. And then 2018, I didn't have a goal of not blacking out. 2019, I had a goal of not blacking out more than once a quarter. And now I'm at twice a year. This is growth.
Charlene, I'm really impressed. You've been keeping this up.
Thank you. Yes, yes. I've been writing down my goals every year since 2017.
You embody peak discipline.
Well, I fail half of them. But then at least I can look at it and be like, yeah, that's fun.
Those are really good goals. So are any of them going to change? Do you want to add new goals?
I never add new goals, actually, once I write them for the year. Sometimes I'll like look at one and be like, that was a dumb goal. I'm going to not do that. But I just leave it on the list so that I can like reflect and look at it. You really helped me with my 2019 goals, actually. Well, one of my 2019 goals was hang out with people you don't know once a month. So like go to events where I don't know everyone. And you brought me to a lot of those, which was nice. Thank you. And then I also had a 2019 goal, do creative things once a month. So whether that's going to an art show, a museum, going to Martuni, something where there's like creative stuff. And you helped me with that a lot too.
Wow. I helped you with your 2019 goals.
Yeah, two of them. Thank you.
That was Charlene Zen, first-time manager at a startup, mental health advocate, and a friend just trying to get through these tough times too. My biggest takeaway is that no matter what we set forth at the beginning of the year, right now, it's okay to not be so hard on ourselves. If you haven't already, this could actually be a great time to try out therapy. I first started with psychologytoday.com to find a private therapist. Now, I might try one of these mental health apps too. I'll let you know how it goes. If you have your own stories of getting into therapy, balancing it with your work schedule, or resetting your life goals this year, I'd love to hear it. Write me at colorsofchloe@gmail.com or visit me at my new YouTube channel at Colors of Chloe. Thanks for listening and see you next time.